This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the Church is missionary by her very nature. The Church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us attain the tools each of us needs to answer the Church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here one more day with my good friend, Scott Leary. Scott is the federal prosecutor in the Northern District of Mississippi, and he's been our guest all week talking about his own personal journey, his journey in the family, but really what I see in Scott's life and his wonderful wife, Mary, is a Catholic couple who came to understand that what Pope John Paul II said, what a full life as a Catholic, as a Christian looks like, and really engaging the journey and finding that God had great plans for them, and he wanted to work through them in ways that they never believed or never really understood at a certain point. And that's how it is for a lot of people. The new evangelization is all about helping Catholics come to a full relationship with Jesus Christ and his church, and that's dynamic. And unfortunately, many people, before they get there, kind of look and say, well, I'm afraid it's going to ruin my weekend, or it's going to ask more of me than I'm willing to give, and life's not going to be happy, and it's going to be too hard. And one of the reasons I wanted to ask Scott, Scott's one of the most joyful, free human beings I know, and his family, his home is such a place of hospitality and life that I wanted you to be able to hear his story. So welcome back, Scott.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah. If you haven't had a chance this week to hear the program, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can download them, listen to them on your computer or whatever device you have that allow you to listen to it anytime you want. Scott, we've talked about a lot of things. Now, I'd like to talk today a little bit about your practice or what you're doing, your job as a prosecutor, and how your faith informs you in that situation. And then I got to make sure I'm going to watch the clock to make sure we can talk about the fact that you're doing youth ministry, too,
yes,
in your parish, which is great. So tell us about your work, what you're seeing.
I'm a federal prosecutor, so I see a lot of crime, and I see a lot of the effects of crime. And people that are out there listening have seen likewise. One of the things I want to encourage the men out there, I have trouble talking to women, but I can talk to men. I get guys. Look, so many of us have had this namby-pamby presentation of the Christian faith that we think it's not a guy thing. And I'm here to tell you, we were just talking about college football. Okay, let's use a college football analogy. I'm from the South, the Southeast. We go crazy over college football. Okay, we lose all perspective. And that's acceptable, all right? Now, let's take the faith. Now, how much more important is the faith than college football? I think we could say it's more important, okay? But for some reason, us guys are reluctant to engage in the faith. And it's scary at first, guys, but let me tell you, engage. You've been baptized. If you haven't, get baptized. And start your journey, and don't live a namby-pamby life. Go out there and do it. You're going to fall on your face. So what does this mean? I had a little epiphany moment 10 or 15 years ago. I forgot what it was. There were drug dealers running a bordello in Memphis, okay, a house of prostitution. And they had underage girls in this house. And we were having a hard time getting to it while the girls were there because, well, we were having security issues. But we finally were able to breach, we were able to locate the facility and breach it, and a SWAT team went in and rescued a half dozen underage girls. Now, I think about that for a second. You're a man, and when you want to live your faith, is there a better place to be than behind that shield if you're a SWAT team guy? That's an awesome Christian moment. Make it that. Offer it up. You're doing God's will there. Now, guys, I don't care what you do. You don't have to be a SWAT team man. But be God's guy. First at your home. Start this journey. Be God's guy at home and be God's guy at work. And don't be a coward. Don't be namby-pamby. Learn your faith. We live in one of the most literate countries on the face of the earth. If you can read a newspaper, you can learn your faith. You don't have to be a theologian. Just learn a little bit and be able to express it. And when you're sitting there in your office, Peter, and I see it, you're in your office and you're standing there drinking a cup of coffee and somebody makes an off-color joke, right? Now, how are you going to respond to that, Peter? You be that guy. So I'm encouraging people out there, let this faith take root and be that guy that walks away and let them deal with it. Or be the guy to say, nah, we're not doing that. And take a little heat. But suddenly now your life has purpose, people. And God puts you where you are. You're God's guy. It's not the priest. Don't rely on the priest. The priest is not where you are. All right? You are. And you have just as much responsibility and obligation to be God's guy wherever you are. We all have different personalities. You know, I'm a talker, okay? So it comes easy for me. But, and other people aren't, that's fine. But be God's guy there ethically. We have a lot of social issues now. Speak the truth in love, but speak it when somebody asks you a question. Be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, yeah. Right? Don't be dumb, but nevertheless, be that guy at work.
What does that look like for you in that context as a prosecutor?
You know, what
working for the government, basically, right?
Yeah. You know, it's hard at times because we get more directives over the internet from work now, and it's a very anti-Christian directives. And, you know, occasionally I'll send the attorney general a letter and say, but I'm smart now, so I'm not telling everybody. I'm smart how I do it, and I know how to do it, but I engage a little bit. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that, you know, in my world, I run across a lot of criminals. I just went through a prosecution of the Aryan Brotherhood in Mississippi. Big RICO case.
Are they Nazis? Do they see themselves Nazis calling themselves Aryan or what?
Yeah, it's a white supremacist organization Okay. Based out of prisons that spread to the free world. Very structured hierarchy, a written constitution, strict bylaws, extremely violent, move drugs. A tough organization. But this is what's interesting. In the course of a 3-year investigation and prosecution, I get to know these guys. And some of these guys have had conversion experiences. And it's really interesting because what it shows me is the humanity in everybody. And I actually strike up relationships with this guy. And I had one guy tell me something. He was, I prosecuted him. I was sending him to jail for 20 years. And we were friends. Bizarre things that happened. And he looked at me and he said,
you became friends through this process.
He looked at me and he said, you know, Scott, I'm finished with that. And I hear that a lot. And he said, and God has thrown my sins into a sea of forgetfulness. And I said, wow, man, that's profound. Did you hear that at church? And he said, yeah, I did. And that's how I'll go back to the Protestant thing. He got saved through a little church that bikers started going to. And several of these bikers and these Aryan Brotherhood guys got saved or became Christian through this process. And I was talking to my priest, and I was like, you know, Father, where are the tatted up guys at Mass?
How come we don't have guys that look like that?
How come we don't have
getting converted and coming to Mass?
Yeah. You know, Catholics are universal, so from one standpoint, we're not homogenous, every race, creed you can think of. But where I am, we're a pretty homogenous crowd.
Yeah.
And I wonder where the Aryan Brotherhood guys are, you know, the guys that and we need to be talking to those guys. That's one of the things I'm convicted about now. And so when I deal with people now, I can't evangelize them because it's in a governmental context, and I don't. But nevertheless, I can be authentic. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I can do, and be authentic with these guys. And while I am representing the government in prosecuting them, I don't have to treat them as anything other than what they are, and that is child of God. And so I can be honest with them. I can be tough, but I can be honest and authentic. And it's hard, and I'm learning.
Yeah,
but I want to be that guy. I want to be a better man, and it's a journey for me, but that's what I want to be.
I think I think one of the things I see in your life is that, you know, you have a heart for people, and that, you know, you love these guys, you know, and that's what Jesus would do. He'd bring them to justice. They have to be prosecuted for what they do. They have to be handled directly, but it doesn't mean you can't love them. Jesus even says, you know, love those who hate you, love your enemies. And that you know that a lot of these guys are fatherless. They have lots of problems, you know, from the time they're very little. They all have a big story behind them. I've done a lot of work in the prison myself, and I'll be darned if like 95% of the guys, one of the reasons they're there goes right back to their relationship or lack of relationship with their father.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's amazing how often that happens.
It's a million different stories, but it's very consistent.
Yeah.
I have got over and over again when I was in this Aryan Brotherhood thing I just came through, fatherless over and over again. Started drug usage at an extremely early age, 8, 9, 10, 12 years, you know, that kind of early exposure. While I understand that we've got to address criminal behavior, but still, God just challenges me.
Yeah.
Because as much adrenaline as I have running through my veins, if I wasn't raised the way I was, there's no telling what could happen to me.
Right. And what we see the effects of all that. We don't see the boy. We don't see the child. And what we see are hardened guys all tatted up who are hiding behind a mask of toughness and intimidation. And inside, after spending a lot of time at the jail, I just thought, these guys are lost boys. That's what they are. And they need love. I mean, they need justice. They need to face the consequences of what they've
done.
That's right. But that's not the whole story. Their lives are going to change when they're loved. And their lives are going to change when they know they're loved, loved by God, and loved by other men and people in their lives, that their life is worth something. That's why they're looking for community. That's why they're defining their lives with rules, because they want to feel like they belong to something, that they are somebody.
It's amazing.
And, yeah, it's really there.
We all want to belong.
And so the challenge is ours. And I hear Pope Francis's words echoing, you know, in the back of my mind of, you know, get down there and smell like the sheep. Get close to these people. Love them. And I see that's really what you're doing, both fulfilling your responsibility as a prosecutor, but seeing the humanity that's also present in the midst of the whole thing. So we have just like a minute and a half. Would you say something a little bit about what you're doing with youth before
yeah.
we close?
You know, I said earlier, Peter, that one of the things I noticed in my own upbringing was that I never had a man look at me eyeball to eyeball and talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And dadgummit, that's sort of the goal of the youth ministry that my wife and I just want them to see a guy, a father that believes this stuff. And then we're going to learn the faith a little bit. So when somebody says, show me the Pope in the Bible, they can do that. Yeah. Although it's hard in high school. It's hard.
Yeah.
You know, if they can just leave with one thing every, you know, just one little nugget every class, I think we're making progress. But what I want them to see, though, is a guy that believes this stuff and messes up and falls down, but gets up and proceeds.
Yeah.
And that's what people out there need to do. Guys, proceed. Start this journey.
Well, fantastic, Scott. Thank you for being with us. These programs have just flown by. And thank you for taking the time. You're a very, very busy guy. And the reason I asked you to just share a little bit about what you and your wife, Mary, are doing with young people is you're not only raising your family, you're not only deeply involved in the work you're doing as a prosecutor, but you're also engaged in the mission of the church, which is the great call that's going out to all of us. Every baptized Catholic is called to mission. Pope Francis said in Evangelii Gaudium, each one of us can stand up and say, I am a mission in this world. That's my identity. Jesus has called me and anointed me for mission and baptism and confirmation. And friends, that's you too. Every single one of you who are listening, God is calling you deeper into the person of Jesus Christ. Scott, thanks for being here, and God bless
Peter.
You. All right, friends, we'll hope you can tune in next week. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.